From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Confused Room. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. Your support, your subscribing, your reviews are what helps us keep this thing alive. So please do that, and thank you in advance for that. On today's episode of the program, we are going to be doing a basement man cave, and here's the before to the basement. This is very much like a 60s, 70s basement. Yeah. I remember like playing in basements like this. I'm going to guess originally they have, looks like probably a peel and stick or a click flooring in there now. But I'm guessing probably originally some nice shag carpet was what originally donned the floor of that.
I would lay money that's covering up an asbestos tile.
Or asbestos tile. Yeah. You're probably right there. That would probably do it. They probably, I'm going to guess there probably was a carpeted wall down here at one point or another. But, cause that bar is of that era, that kind of built-in bar. And I kind of like it, but at the same point, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's kind of in the way of everything that I want to do with the room.
It is.
So that's going to probably have to go. But it's a really nice, big, open space, probably a ranch-style home of that era.
I would think so. And, you know, the thing is, they didn't raise the ceilings to be like 8 or 9 foot like you have in new homes now. So we're talking, this is probably a 7 foot ceiling. So it's going to feel cave-like whether you know you want it to or not. So why not go full force and make it a man cave?
There's no way around it. So, you know, I would be excited to have this basement and be like, ooh, the possibilities. I mean, we did have a big space here to do stuff, and I did kind of feel that way. I like old kind of cave basements like this. It reminds me of childhood and a lot of like aunts and uncles' homes and stuff like that. My uncle Jim's basement, somewhat reminiscent of that. His is much warmer. He has a lot of carpet and stuff down there that, you know, but in the same sort of vein, you know, where it's just kind of warm, cozy, old.
Yeah,
you know, sure. I love that. So that's what we're going to be doing. It's a space for the guy. That's what we're working on this episode of the program. So if you want to see the episode, you want to see the design and the before and after images, check it out at confusedroom.com or check it out on our YouTube page as well, because that's where you're going to be able to see all of our before and afters on this thing. I'll jump into mine and then we'll talk about some other stuff a little bit later here in the show. So there's your before of the room. And here's what I did with it. And we'll do some detailed explaining on some of the concepts in here and how to get them done after we're done going over the concept here. So this man cave basement starts out with the expected, a rich dark wood bar, some lighter wood backsplash made by creating several levels of boxes for storing bottles and some wine racks mounted on the side. Went with a dark navy paint on the bricks, which are all over the basement, and a maroon stripe along the entire perimeter of the room. When it comes to fun spaces, I really like to do things that people don't expect. So for this man cave basement, I created a mini bowling alley. It's going to be built relatively inexpensively using faux plank flooring and a little extra lumber to frame in a small lane. I accented the whole area with some retro bowling signs, industrial lighting, and added an arcade machine to the corner to give it that true childhood bowling alley feel. And there, you have a footprint like this in a basement with some long spaces, this is really a possibility of something that can be done relatively inexpensively. I did not put like a real pin setter or something.
Or ball return.
That's what children are for.
Well, and you know what? That's what makes bowling exercise. If you go down there and get your ball and set up the pins.
But,
so,
Really, I mean, there's a lot of ways of doing something in this vein, for, you know, a reasonable amount of money.
Right.
It's just, it's a matter of work more than anything else. What I would do to accomplish this, the bowling alley itself, I would basically, it's all wood. So you make a basically a little elevated platform there for where you're going to be standing and throwing all the way through the lane. Elevate it just enough off the ground, and you can just use regular old lumber. just plywood boards, things of that nature. Then if you want the bowling alley look, the lane look, there's a lot of good peel and stick products that right. you can put down on there that give it this bowling look. Add a couple decals for your arrows and such. Buy some bowling pins at a garage sale. Buy some bowling pins online. I would probably go with actually smaller pins on this, like a duck pin. Or if you can find, we actually found some old antique pins that were toy pins, but they held up really good and built almost like a real bowling pin. But I would probably go with a little bit of a smaller piece and a smaller ball, realistically. I don't think I'd do a real bowling ball on this. I'd do more of the, what you'd find like at a bar, sure. at like the bowling game, one of those old retro ones. And you just build a little frame at the end of where the pins are. There are ways, if you want to get technical, and I've seen specs online on how you could get the ball back there and to technically roll back to you. That looks a little complex. I think really your best bet is just if you're playing this with friends, you take turns. One person's at the back, one person's at the front, setting the pins, rolling the ball back, and you just have some fun. And
I would not be at the end of that lane with you rolling. You throw the ball halfway down the lane before it even touches the wood.
I do that at real bowling alleys.
You do. I just know at some point the wood's going to split and they're going to kick us out because you chuck the ball down the lane.
Does that happen? Does wood break on bowling alleys ever? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but I could see it happening to us.
You know, another potential thing that you could do with this, and it's going to be luck of the draw, if you really are wanting to do bowling alley flooring, check Craigslist in your area, because bowling alleys close down all the time. And it's sad because I love old bowling alleys. But usually when they do, people are ready to reclaim the bowling alley for countertops, for this or that, or for something like this. And you're not talking like a full length lane here. You're talking what you can fit in your basement to realistically make a mini bowling alley.
Sure.
So you only need, 20 feet of lane, maybe. And if they sell it by the foot, you may be paying $200-$300 for your lane. But you're getting a real lane too, as opposed to actually, if you were to buy it new from a bowling alley constructor, which I don't even know. I mean, those goes into like tens of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. But if you want it, you could probably find it relatively inexpensively for what you're getting. But again, there's plenty of ways of doing this sort of thing on a realistic budget. This is not meant to be a high end, oh my God, you have a bowling alley in your basement home. This is a fun corner of the elongated part of your basement thing.
I like that. I really do.
The other thing I added into the room, and this is another little tip, and it's another tip I've wanted to talk about on the show for a while, is the arcade machine that I have off there in the corner. Again, something that I think a lot of us who grew up in the era of arcade machines, thought, oh my gosh, that's going to be an expensive thing to buy. Mm-hmm. And they used to be. They used to be incredible. If you're buying a true retro machine, it can be. But now there's all these kits that literally send you the wood in a box. We got one once, built it. And all you basically need is a monitor and an old computer. So take your old laptop. And then there's programs out there that emulate old machines, old games for free. And there you go. You got your machine hooked up, and there's places where you can buy the control panels all ready to go. Again, relatively inexpensive compared to what it used to be.
Or buying a
full-fledged machine.
The machine that only plays one game.
One game, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing if you do a little research what you can get done for a couple $100. You could really, if you wanted it to surprise the guy in your life with a Christmas present or something, you don't even have to make it yourself. Just say, here's the kit to make an arcade machine.
Yeah.
And you just get the parts, and you're talking a monitor. Here's my old computer that I don't use anymore. It's sitting in a closet. And here's the kit. Mm-hmm. Boom, done. That would, I'm sure, be a really, especially if you have a kind of a crafty guy that likes building stuff.
Oh, it'd be a big hit.
It'd be awesome. So,
I bet a lot of people don't realize that is even a possibility.
No, and what I'm excited about, and the wheels are turning in my mind, there are now kits to make virtual pinball machines using TV monitors.
Sure.
And you can buy large TV monitors nowhere near what they, it used to be like $5,000 for the huge ones or, whatever. $100, $200, get some cheap ones. Go to Craigslist, buy some used ones. And you can now, there's a kit built, it builds the cabinet. You can put that into it and you can do the pinball and it emulates, switch the machines. That one baffles me. I've never seen one in person yet, but I'm thinking this may be a Tony project in the next couple of years. I don't know.
As soon as you find a spot for it.
That's my problem. I have no idea where I would put it, but it, it is kind of neat. So anyhow, that's my basement space. Got a little bar down there as well. You kind of need that in the man cave. And there's a little window that overlooks the, I extended the wall out because there's a pole in that picture that we needed to kind of hide. So rather than just leave that weird, awkward pole standing there, I just bumped the wall even longer to really make the bowling lane have its own space.
Sure.
So that's what I did with my space. Would you like to go into yours?
Sure.
Okay. Let's show Jenny's basement design. And oh my goodness, you look similar wall color.
Very similar wall color. I couldn't tell you for sure. I'd have to go back and look what the color is called, but I do. I think it's actually the Newport Berry Blue.
Okay. I don't remember what mine is called. I think it might be. Is it from the Benjamin Moore American, a classic American collection or something? I think we might have the same wall colors. Anyway, here's Jenny's basement.
Okay, so I went with the dark wall color. I didn't do a stripe or anything around the room, but what I did do is I wrapped the weird column that is a support post, and I wrapped it in a faux stone, and then I also mimicked another one about 8 to 10 feet away from it and did a shelf in between to create a bar with pendant lights. Where you could put bar stools, and you can back a couch up to either side of this bar because I left it completely open in the bottom, depending on how you wanted to arrange the furniture. I decided on the larger side of the room to put a large projector screen, so there's a spot for everybody to come over and watch the game. Couch, couple of extra chairs, and then the bar is directly behind the couch. So it also serves as, you know, you can reach up there and put your drink, or somebody can sit up there behind you. So plenty of viewing options. In my long, narrow space where you had put the bowling alley, I chose to do a shuffleboard. And I decided that I wanted it to not be something that extended all the way down. So I did have room for an against the wall bar, not one where you walk around behind it, but a place to go, you know, grab your plate of snacks and a beer. And I added some cabinetry there to hold, you know, glasses and things and a mini fridge. I was able to, with not extending, all the way down that wall, to leave a little space for a poker table, which poker tables can be used for so much more than poker. You know, basically you can sit at it and eat or play another game. But I accented with a lot of clear lighting, meaning that the shades don't really catch your eye. It's just clear glass around a bulb. And I did that so that you didn't have the view of a lot of things obstructing an already low ceiling. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't want to bring that ceiling down even more.
Sure. I like it a lot. It's a very similar feel mm-hmm. to kind of what I did. And I like that. We didn't even like see each other's designs when we were doing this.
No, we don't do that. We wait until the show, and then it's amazing sometimes how close they mm-hmm. can be.
If you could add any fun thing into a basement, if space and money were no object, what would you want to add to like a fun basement space? Not man cave, family cave. Where the family goes to hide from nuclear disaster.
Family cave. I would love to turn one of the walls into a rock wall, but you know,
climbing?
For like the kids to climb on.
Wow.
But there's not a lot of height there.
No.
Which, you know, for harp size, that's fine. But Livy, she's like up one rock and she's touching the ceiling.
Ceiling, yeah.
You know, I always thought that would be fun. That would be more so like in the the stairwell kind of thing, but totally not safe.
Because it is kind of a tall stairwell. In theory, you could do a climbing wall there.
You could. I used to climb, you know, be a rock climber a long time ago.
Really?
Long time
ago. Like you would climb rocks?
I
real rocks?
Well, it
cliffs?
Where? I would climb anything I could in Kansas. There was a...
You climbed the side of the DQ or what?
No, there was an old grain silo down in Derby.
Okay.
That was turned into the Kansas, I think a Kansas Rock Climbing Club or something like that. And they put a bunch of the fake rocks on the sides that were meant for climbers. I made it to the top of that silo.
I'm assuming you had like a harness or something.
Oh, of course. Okay. Of course. I wouldn't do that without the proper gear and somebody that knows what they're doing. But used to be, I could climb. Can't so much anymore. But
just for reference, those grain silos are tall.
This was not a full on, like, the mile long ones. This was more so, this is probably, 100 feet in the air.
You could have just totally said, yes, they are. Oh, my God.
I just don't want to mislead, I climbed Everest in Kansas.
Some of the big ones, though, are, I don't know how many stories, 20 stories? They're big.
Like the one that
blew up?
Yeah, you weren't there for that, but it was a mile long and about 20 stories tall when the whole thing blew up.
Yeah. That happens.
It does. Grain dust is extremely flammable.
Yeah. It's one of those things you don't really learn about until you're there. It's like, what
that
happened?
That happened on my birthday, my 15th birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. We watched coverage of that because they actually had to try and climb through find people.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. Yeah. It is horrible.
Is the rock climbing wall still there? Publicly open or like,
I don't know that it's still publicly open or a climbing club or anything like that, but it was still standing the last time I went that way.
Wow.
Which was probably 2 years ago.
Okay. But it's there. It's just, you don't know if it's
there,
open.
But I don't know that I don't know that it's safe to climb because this was when I was in high school that I climbed that thing.
There's a lot of things that are still there that are it's kind of abandoned now.
It's sketchy.
Yeah, exactly.
It exists. Yeah.
One of the things with little spaces like this, I was thinking of, just fun things. Cause my space was kind of, it's an adult space, where you have a bar down there, but it's like the child of the adult is coming out to have some fun and play. So I was thinking candy, like stuff that I enjoyed as a kid. So my question that came to mind was, what was your favorite childhood candy?
Twizzlers.
Is there any candy that you had when you were a child that doesn't exist anymore or is very difficult to find?
Not that I enjoyed. I'm sure there's candy that was out when I was a kid that doesn't exist, but not that I ever paid any attention to. Everything that I loved was Twizzlers and M&Ms and Kit Kats and Butterfingers, and they're all around.
Yeah, they're still there.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
I don't think I ever had Bonkers.
That's the one where the commercials, I thought they were hilarious because it would be on Saturday mornings. And they marketed it as just basically this nice, peaceful grandmother just kind of rocking in her chair, with her bonnet on. And she's just reading a book or knitting.
Because all grandmas wear bonnets.
Well, in 1980, they did. No, they didn't. But this is how it looked.
Okay.
And that was the look. And all of a sudden, a giant piece of fruit the size of a sofa falls out of the sky and crushes her. And then they had all these different just unsuspecting people being crushed by large pieces of fruit. Okay. And then it would be like somebody walks in and they eat their Bonkers. And it was because they opened a Bonkers, I think. And that's why the fruit came out. Like grandson's on the corner of the room playing with Legos. And all of a sudden he opens a Bonkers and boom, grandma gets crushed by the apple. That's that's how it worked.
What is the candy that you think should go away and not exist anymore?
What candy should go away? Swedish fish. What's a modern candy that I don't?
I got one.
Yeah, what do you got?
Warheads. I hate those.
Oh, those were fun.
I hate those. They taste like vomit at first, and then they start to taste like apple.
I didn't get vomit. I just got it's burning my taste buds off with their acidity. I would have those as a kid, and I swear to God, it was a chemical reaction of the acidity, because there would be... after I had one, I couldn't taste anything for a day.
There's probably sulfa in it or something.
No, I mean, I think it's the same sort of shit you got on your hands. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's the acidity. It is such, so it changed a pH level that And I've had them as an adult.
I don't think it's the same stuff that I got on my hands.
No, well, it's not exactly. No, but I think there was a chemical reaction back in the original ones. Uh-huh. Today I've had them, and I do not think they are nearly as sour as they once were in 1992.
I still think they're horrible. I think they're horrible, and anytime yeah. one of the kids is like, here, try this, Mom, I'm like, no, I remember that shit.
What about Crybaby, the bubble gum, the Crybaby?
No, never did that.
Those were nowhere near as bad as the Warheads. I used to go to there's a little convenience store down the road, and I would spend my allowance money, which was like 50 cents, and I would go in there, and I would get, for a nickel, Crybabies. Uh-huh. And I remember sitting after dinner up in my parents' room, because that was where our second TV in the house was. We only had, that was it, two TVs. And this was the bad one. This was the shitty one that really didn't get much in at all, as opposed to the one that only got a little in. And I would try and get in episodes of Full House with the antenna. And once I got it, I'd sit in the chair and I would just shove down Crybabies. And I think I would try and get like four or five in my mouth at once to see if I could handle it. Which is what I did as an only child. No siblings. I had a cat. I'd sit in the room watching reruns of Full House.
You're saying this, how sad it sounds.
What? I'm a little kid. You're sitting alone. It's not like I'm 23 doing this.
You're sitting alone. I'm like eight. Crappy TV.
I'm eight.
Crybabies in your mouth.
I'm eight. This is things 8 year olds do. When you have no siblings. No. You were torturing your brother. I was, I was torturing the cat and eating crybabies. Isn't that?
I was perfecting my aim with my slingshot. That's what I was doing.
During the day, I'd be out in the sandbox playing with Legos or doing stuff like that.
But the sandbox when you were eight, I gave that shit up at three.
Aren't we special? Yeah, I did. I went out there and I played in the sandbox. And it sounds horrible. We had a lot of ants. Uh-huh. And they would build little anthills in my sandbox. That's probably the only reason I would go out there, till about eight, was because I would go out there and be like, oh, I'm going to have some fun. And they had like these little colonies built, and I'd take the hose out there and I'd like flood them out. Wow. It'd be horrible. I mean, I'd never hurt a true small animal. I would never do that.
So wonder you didn't turn into Dahmer.
So my mom would say when I'd be torturing the ants,
yeah,
like, oh, you're going to be like Dahmer. Cause Dahmer was about 60 miles away. And that was the big story of the time. But no, I love animals, but ants, you know, they're ants, but, yeah. So I didn't see it as much worse than kids with the magnifying glasses. It's kind of the same sort of deal. But I would never do that to a chipmunk or anything. Like I love I love my rodents. I get really upset when people try and trap them around here. It's like, I love them. Put a sweater on one. So anyway, that wraps up today's episode of the show. You learned a lot more about us now, didn't you? All sorts of fun stuff on Confused Room. Next time, next week, I know we have a bathroom. I know we have a basement. It's not wanting to be a man cave. It's wanting to be kind of a communal family, family pub, of some sort. But
it's a family that drinks together stays together.
Exactly. That's kind of what they're going for.
Nice.
But they were saying the way it was described was they want a pub like feel, but a place that everyone can go. They have a pool table in there, and they were going for kind of an Irish pub, gangster feel, I guess.
Speakeasy
kind of thing.
Okay.
But not just grown up. It's a whole family going there, watch a game, that sort of a thing. And it really just turned into a mess of Christmas lights and pictures of gangsters and posters on the wall that didn't work out well. It's just weird. And I get kind of where they were going with it, but it's like, yeah, that's confused. If I call a confused room, this is defining it. So we're going to work on that. And there's one more space, that we have to do. In fact, if you have a space you want on the episode, send it into us on our website, confusedroom.com. All it takes is a picture and a little description of what you're going for. And we'll take it from there and use it on a future episode. Just go to confusedroom.com or send it to us through our Facebook page. That's ways to get your images and your spaces used on the program.
It's free idea. ideas.
It is. It's absolutely free. So check that out and do send us in some of those images. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for watching another episode of Confused Room.